This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a podcast of Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9, Australia's only LGBTI program focused on the horror and sci-fi community.
Come dance all around the world. Dance with the birds and the music. We want you to see.
Are you ready for Taika Waititi? Taika Waititi, please.
Thank you. First off, I'll just introduce myself. So that'll be the first thing. Taika Waititi, and that's that done. So, who am I? Well, I kind of don't really know that myself often. I come from New Zealand, and I come from these two people who met in the early 70s. The woman is Robin. She's of Russian Jewish heritage, and she was a school teacher. And the guy next to her, his name is Tiger, and he is a farmer and an artist. And they met, and then a few drinks later, they gave birth to a beautiful Asian daughter called Taika. And so I come from a sort of like a very mixed background, and as a result, I've always sort of had trouble kind of finding out, deciding really like who I was or what I wanted to do, and like I've had lots of influences through my life, through both sides of my family. I come from, like, one side of me comes from the country, and I went to school out there where the population of the school was 28 kids, and it's still 28 kids. And then I was also at school in the city. So I had all these sort of influences and stuff, and I didn't really, and I think that's kind of moved through into my creative life, where I haven't really been able to decide exactly what I wanted to do. I've always been into painting and art and drama and all these sort of different things. So, and that's pretty much been my life. I mean, all I've got, guys, is creativity. That's it. That's my job. You know, at the moment I happen to be a filmmaker, but it's not my job. It's just, my job is to express myself and to share my ideas and my point of view. It happens to be that I'm using filmmaking right now, but you know, throughout the years I've done lots of different things. I started off, my background is painting and visual art. Political, but you know, always fun. You know, if I can try and make it fun, then that's, you know, that for me is what being creative is about. It's having fun and looking at life through like a sort of the lens of a child, really. Back home in New Zealand, we have this saying, tēnā koe. Okay, that's a Māori saying, tēnā koe, that's how you say hello. And what it literally means is, there you are. Okay, if you're saying it to a group of people, tēnā koutou, there you guys are. Okay, so the fact that we're here, that we're even on earth in the first place, I think that's success in itself. So congratulations, everyone, on being here. And I wish you all the best in your creative lives. And on that note, cheers, kia ora, kia ora, kia ora.
Excellent. Might help if I turn my mic on. Awesome. Hi, Taika.
Hi.
Hey, thank you very much for spending some time to talk to us here on Joy 94.9. Yeah, don't worry, this is a pre-record, but I have to sound like that, so cool.
Is this an okay line?
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's not too bad. A little bit fuzzy, but that's all right. I can sort that out.
It's just me.
Maybe it's just you. All right, yeah, so this is Sonia here on Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9, speaking to the amazing Taika Waititi, talking about Hunt for the Wilder People, The release is coming. It's May the 26th here in Australia, and June will, well, finally the Americans will get it on the 24th. So welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, cool. It's been a couple of years. You came up to the studio and I managed to do an interview with you 2 years ago when we talked about what we do in the shadows. So how's it going for Hunt for the Wilder People? Going to be over here
soon?
It's
going great. Yeah, yeah. We actually, I think today, by the end of today, we should have become the number one box office. We should be number one at the New Zealand box office for a New Zealand film. How do you say it? Whether it will be the highest grossing New Zealand film of all time.
Wow.
By the end of...
Okay.
And then, so that will be the number one film. And then the number two film is my other film, Boy.
So what's the third one?
I'm really happy for that.
What's
the third one? It's
Peter Jackson film?
Guess what the third one is.
Yeah, I know.
Things don't work in threes.
Yeah.
It's only just one and two.
One and two. Your ones and your twos. Love it. Okay.
So I'm number one, number two, and number seven. That's all that matters.
Yeah. Which one's number seven? What's the...
I think what we do in the shadows.
Oh, wow. I thought it would be a lot higher up in the scale of things.
Nobody wanted to come to you.
Okay.
That's why it's still very scary in New Zealand. People are very scared of those things.
Yeah, probably too close to home, maybe.
Yeah.
Living in a flat in Wellington. So can you tell us briefly about what Hunt for the Wilder People is all about? I mean, it's, you know, for those Australians listening...
For those Australians listening, it's about a couple of renegades, a 12-year-old boy and an old man on the run from the law. They're on the run from a crazed social welfare worker who's trying to put them back, trying to put the little boy back into foster care. And it's a fun on the run adventure with car chases and hunting and guns and crazy characters all through the New Zealand landscape. And an amazing soundtrack. Well, I've made this film, so it sounds so amazing. Even I want to see it now. And I've seen it about 100 times while I was editing it.
Right. Yes, there's also some wild pig action in it. I mean, I'm lucky to have seen it. So for people who are, you know, not for the faint-hearted, I mean, they're full-on sort of action scenes.
Yeah.
How did you get Sam Neill into the frame of mind of pig wrestling and things like that?
I just told him that he... was bordering on becoming irrelevant and that this was his only chance to resurrect his career. So he better knuckle down and get wrestling with that pig.
Yes, it's worked really well. And it's great, of course, and it's great to see some of the costumes are pretty amazing. We've got Swan Dry shirts. I wonder if there's going to be a Hunt for the Wilder People Swan Dry available as merch.
Yeah, I'd love that to happen. I'd love a petition. If someone like you, you could start a petition to Swan Dry, and I'd sign it. And we could get that happening because they did give us some clothes for the they gave us those jackets for the costumes, and I think they'd be on board.
Yeah. Well, I think Foot Rot Flats did something years ago, so this could be it.
Right.
And what I love about it too is it does. Remind one of things like Foot Rot Flats. Of course, it's based on the Barry Crump book, the original one, and it's got that real New Zealand sensibility. How do you think that's going to translate overseas? Do you?
We know how it translates because it's at 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, and all the reviews have been incredibly positive, and it played at Sundance. It's just won three audience awards at the Boston Film Festival, San Francisco Film Festival, and Montclair Film Festival. So the Yanks love it.
I think they will. They'll definitely want to know what Paul Kapuha is by the end of it, I'd say.
Yeah.
Now, Julian Dennison is just amazing. How did you come across this awesome little bloke?
Just an internet search.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's like typed in amazing kid actors, and then this guy turned up. I'd actually worked with him on a commercial a few years before, and he was amazing. Mm. He very professional, cheap, and funny, very funny. And so I thought, I want this kid in my film. I don't know what film because I didn't have this idea at the time, but I want him in one of my movies. And so when it came to making this film, I didn't audition him. I just gave him the part. I said, "Are you still a cool kid?" On the phone, I called him up and I said, "Are you still a kid?" He said, yep, I'm 12. And I said, you're not lying to me, are you? And he said, no, I swear, I've only aged a year since we last met. And I said, okay, well, that was a year ago, so I'll choose to believe you. And then I sent him the script, and I said, are you still Maori? Are you still of Maori descent? Are you still ethnic? And he said, yep. I just looked in the mirror, and I'm still brown. And I said, good, that's what I want. So I sent him the script, and he said, yes. And then I did the same to Sam Neill. I called him up. I said, Sam, are you still over 60? And he said, yep. And I said, are you still a really good actor like you were in Omen Part 3 back in the 80s? And he said, yes. And I said, okay, I'm choosing to believe you, Sam. I saw you in Peaky Blinders, and I liked your accent. I don't want you to do that, but I want you to be in this movie. Mm. And sent him the script, and he said yes. And then all of those two pieces, it was like a jigsaw puzzle with only two pieces. And so those two pieces, they fit together, and then that was the puzzle.
Yeah, yeah. I guess then you filled it around with great actors, like personalities like Rima Tiwata, who's just just steals it. The first scene.
She does. She's a thief.
She's amazing. I think I saw something of her at the premiere. I think it was the New Zealand red carpet premiere. And she said she hadn't actually seen the whole film all the way through or something. I don't know.
No, I don't. We don't let her see.
We don't let her see them, right?
No, that's the government thing.
Oh, she is awesome. Yeah. Now, looking at what we do in the shadows, and that was a real breakthrough moment. And everything sort of has dominoed, I think, for your career. It's pretty amazing. There's going to be a sequel to that, is that right? Are we looking at?
I think so. I mean,
that's what I heard.
I've done and just do like 8 more films based around this whole vampire universe that we've created. I think I think there's a lot of traction there. Because I think the next one we're talking about doing is a werewolf film, following the werewolves around.
Yeah,
and then. And then after that, who knows, you know, maybe we will follow the zombies and mockumentary on zombies.
Or more soft, maybe a soft core type of following, you know, the sexy vampires.
Oh, the Jermaine, sexy vampires, yeah.
Jermaine Clements.
Following me.
That's right.
Oh, what?
That's a whole,
following me.
It's a whole new genre we could build on that.
I see. Are you a Germaniac, are you?
Yeah, I'm. No. We love you the most.
Doesn't sound like it.
So, look, one of your things that you do is picky films. How important has that been for you in the last year or two as far as getting more Māori and Pacific Islanders in film and more of that representation?
I think, mate, that it's bloody great. It's great. For me, it's good to have a thing like picky because, in my opinion, and in many people's opinion, there probably isn't enough focus on Māori and Pacific Island stories. And take it from someone who has the two highest grossing films in the history of New Zealand, box office. Both those films are Māori films. So, it's proof in the pudding, my dear.
Yeah.
It's proof that there is an audience and that we do tell great stories. So my focus is on fostering that and finding the new voices and fostering them and nurturing them and bringing them up and finding out who are the next great storytellers.
Who's the next Taika Waititi?
Oh, there'll never be another. Never.
Can't get them too good. That's for sure.
No,
you can't.
You can't give them impossible dreams. You can't hit people up with impossible dreams.
No, you can't build them up and then tear them down.
No.
Now, the other one is, I believe you've been tweeting. You've been tweeting some of these Marvel directors, James Gunn and people like that, for this 4 movie, Ragnarok.
Yeah.
Yes, about explosions. Like, do you know yet how many explosions you're going to try and put into the film?
Well, James Gunn said put in 12.
Yes. Payson
said 42.
42, that's a lot.
I think that's too many.
It's overkill, really.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't listen to those two. I don't know if they've done anything.
They've only done one film, haven't they, each?
No, I mean, exactly.
There's a lot of talk.
I don't know. I'm not big on taking advice from people.
I believe that the Four Ragnarok is considered one of the darker of the four, you know, stories in the comics, a storyline. But you're going to bring that humour into it.
I don't know.
Oh, you don't know.
I don't know. I mean, I like to say that, but who knows?
Well, I had a friend who said, no, he can't do it because, look, it'll be too funny. We can't have funny. But I said, you've got to trust. You've got to trust.
Who's your...
I won't tell.
I want a name.
Oh.
Who is this? He or she a big Thor fan?
They are. They do say. They claim that they are. But
they claim they are, but
they take the hammer.
About these inverted commas, Thor fan. They obviously don't read a lot of the older Thor comics, which are absolutely ridiculous, including the one Thor run where Loki turns Thor into a frog. No one ever talks about how ridiculous that is.
That'll look great.
That's not going to be a movie.
If it explodes, it'll be great.
Don't tell me that Thor is super serious. That kind of stuff. They did that kind of stuff to him. The poor guy.
Well, look, Taika Waititi, thank you so much for speaking to us here on Sci-Fi and Scream. And good luck with Hunt for the Wilder People. Starts May the 26th in Australia and June 24 in the US of A. Awesome work.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Mm. And can you just say a quick station ID? We've probably got 30 seconds left. For Joy 94.9.
Sure.
Sure. Cool.
Here we go.
Yep.
Hello. Hello. You are listening to Joy FM, providing joy to all of you.
Cool. Thank you. All right. Good luck. Good luck with the premiere.
Thank you.
Here. Cheers.
Who came knocking at the door? A little girl in a long white gown. Who came running to answer the door? A little man with a worried frown. Dance all around the world.
Dance all around the world with me.
Dance with the birds and the music. We want you to see. Surrounds you. Who came knocking at the door? Little man with a worried frown. Who came running to answer the door? A dragon and a man dressed up as a clown.
Dance all around the world.
Dance all around the world with me.
Dance with the birds.
So they danced until they came to a beautiful castle on a lonely hill. There lived a prince with his two wise tutors and two guards. Come, dance around the world with us, said the man in brown. But no, cried the tutors, for a prince must learn of law and justice. But a prince should also know the sound of the wind in the trees and the song of the crickets, said the man in brown. He must stay, they said, and learn of government and diplomacy. But surely a tutor... A teacher should know the secrets of the moon and the feel of a mountain stream on his feet. But we must guard him, said the guards. Surely even a guard should know the feel of the wind on his face and the surge of life in his hands. And so the guards threw down their weapons, and the tutors put aside their books and gowns, and they threw open the castle gates and danced out into the fields.
Come dance around.
Surrounds you. Dance all around the world.
You've been listening to a podcast of Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. Check out joy.org.au/sci-fi and scream for more.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.